Aaron, Polly, Wayne, and Andrew. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I am Andrew.
Guys, we have come to the end of a long journey.
Is this it?
Our time with Skype is about to be over. I think this is our last Skype recorded podcast.
I think you're right.
Since we haven't figured out what we're replacing with it, it could be our last recorded episode.
We've invested in some tin cans and some string. I think that is the way we're going to go.
What we're really going to do is we're just going to have everyone on speakerphone, and I'm going to record it.
Sounds awful.
Like an old Kicked in the Dice Bags podcast. With a microphone next to the speaker.
Nice.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah. That's a deep cut right there.
That is. Yeah, I mean, you know, 15 plus years of connecting through Skype. I'm gonna miss my Skype.
I won't. It's been well, especially once they implemented how to record your podcast directly in Skype.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like they just added that start recording button. Like that made life so much better. Uh-huh. Now we got to figure out the hard stuff. And we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know if we're going to do Teams or whatever program Wayne keeps talking about that I keep forgetting the name of.
Discord.
We'll figure it out. Maybe. And maybe the audio will be even better than ever. Probably not. It'll take a ramp up to figure out how to edit that new audio file nonsense.
So if we just pod fade after this, you'll know why. So.
It's because we couldn't make a decision about what to use next.
That's right. I don't know. I want to use, Discord. I want to use Teams. Yeah. If I knew of another program, I'd say it. But
Right.
Yeah. It's not because we technically are too old to figure any of it out. It's because we can't make a decision.
And it's lazy. There's certainly a laziness component there. So, absolutely. Yeah. Don't neglect that.
I'm certainly not going to miss Skype updating for my pleasure right before we record.
God, yeah, no doubt. I won't miss that at all. In fact, I turned my computer on this morning. I'm like, I guess Microsoft didn't have any Skype updates for me.
Microsoft is dead to them.
Yeah, 4 days before they kill the program. So, yeah. Well, anyway, boys, I'm going to the movies today. I'm going to go see that new Rami Malek flick.
I like me some Rami Malek. Yeah.
Who?
I don't know that I like Rami Malek.
Oh, I don't know who Rami Malek is.
We're all over on this podcast. We have two who love Rami Malek. One who
doesn't. I'd say that he was a villain in a Bond movie, but I also know that that wouldn't help Wayne at all.
Well, what was that? He was Mr. Robot or whatever.
No. He's a power forward for the Detroit Pistons.
What was that TV show?
I still don't know what sport the Pistons are.
It's a sports ball team. They're in the league.
They are. That is true.
In the sports ball league. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Paul, you're going to go see The Accountant 2 today.
I'm actually going to go see The Accountant 2 tomorrow. So we were actually just talking about movies before the podcast. And I'm like, I'm going to go see The Accountant 2. I was looking, and it occurs to me, I accidentally bought tickets for today, even though I'm going to see it tomorrow. So thankfully, I can hop into the app, get my refund, and buy tickets for tomorrow instead. Because that would be awkward, because wouldn't make it today. This is kind of like, for me, these past 2 weeks have had some of the movies I've most looked forward to this year. And I know we've got some big comic book releases with Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts and Superman. But I don't know, like in my non-comic book world, I was really looking forward to Sinners
with Michael B. Jordan. That looks so good. Came out last week.
Saw it. It's excellent.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
This week, we have The Accountant 2 with John Bernthal and Ben Affleck. We've got Punisher and Daredevil teaming up in the same movie for The Accountant 2. Multiverse Punisher and Daredevil. And last night on Netflix, a new movie came out called Havoc. With Tom Hardy, Timothy Oliphant, Forrest Whitaker, and I think that's it. A bunch of other people that I don't know, but those are the three main actors.
What's the premise?
It's honestly a pretty generic premise. It's about the mayor's kid gets wrapped up in crime, and Tom Hardy is a dirty cop who has to get him through the night. kind of thing. So not the most original premise, but it's directed by the guy who did The Raid and The Raid 2, who was supposed to do a Deathstroke movie at some point, but it fell through. Gareth Edwards. And so I saw that last night. So it's kind of like a lot of fun stuff, a lot of big movies in the Paul world over these last 2 weeks. But
yeah, the last movie I saw was a Minecraft movie.
How was it?
I enjoyed it, but it's one of those I would not recommend it to anyone that isn't a fan of the game.
Yeah.
Did you lose your mind?
It is definitely
Chicken Jockey came out or whatever it is. Did you
throw popcorn at people? No, and I am sick of the memes.
It's a thing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. It was a lot of fun, but it's a lot of fun because a lot of references to the game. So if you're not already in love with the game, I don't think you would enjoy the movie.
And I would have absolutely no. I've seen people play the game. I have myself have never played a minute of Minecraft. So that's why I was like, I could take or leave the movie. But it's huge. I mean, it's doing really well. And so is Sinners. Sinners is doing excellent in theaters, too.
So how excited are we for Thunderbolts next week?
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to Thunderbolts next week.
I would say I'm moderately excited. I'm excited, but not like beat down the door excited.
I'm so cautiously excited. The trailers, I think, look good. So I'm hopeful.
I'm concerned, but excited. So the fact that I don't care really for the Sentry. And then basically it's like taking a team of supporting characters and putting them together in their own movie. And some of them I really like, right? Some of the members Soldier, of that team.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. No, I love Sebastian Stan's Winter Soldier. I love the White Widow, the other Black Widow. I'm blanking on her name. But then you got U.S. Agent. Really don't like that guy. I do like David Harbour as a Red Guardian, but I'm a little uncertain. I'm a little nervous about this movie.
You know, you've hit on my nervousness in that I don't like The Sentry, and it's a movie about the Sentry and the Void. So
yeah,
that's a big check against it.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. I mean, I do like the cast. You know, you mentioned U.S. Agent. I like Wyatt Russell. I appreciate Wyatt Russell more than when he played the character at first. He was in that Monarch show that we really
liked. Yeah.
I've grown to appreciate him. But when it comes to comic book movies, it's one of those things that I struggle with a comic book movie that would not be a comic book I would read if it was a comic, right?
Yeah, right.
And this iteration of Thunderbolts is not something I would pick up if it was in comic form. But, you know, I mean, regardless, it's an MCU movie. We know we're going to see it. I'm absolutely going to see it. And hopeful. And early reviews are saying it's good. But, you know, Disney likes to buy reviews. So we'll see if they're accurate.
It sounds like your thought is that if it's an MCU movie, like you should watch it, even if it's something you're not excited about. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct.
So even if it's like the Eternals, you should probably watch it, right?
I did see the Eternals. Didn't I tell you I saw the Eternals?
You did. Finally? You did. Yeah. I thought someone still here hadn't. Has everyone here watched it now?
Oh, yeah. We've watched that piece of trash.
Okay. All right. Just checking. I thought so. There was still one holdout. I guess I'm wrong.
We have all marinated in the pain of the Eternals.
The delightful pain. The joyous pain.
Yeah. Joyous.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I still haven't seen? I still haven't seen the freaking Marvels. So I've got to see that.
That's a good movie. It is a good movie. I think that's an actual fun, enjoyable film.
Yes. Yeah, it's got its issues, but it also has a couple characters that really steal the movie.
All right, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I feel like you guys might be leading me astray.
I wouldn't do that to you, Paul. I'd never spaceman you.
There you go.
Yeah.
The spaceman was unintentional.
Uh-huh.
Was it, though? Was it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read it yet. But, you know.
In fairness, Paul spacemanned himself, so.
So, that's true. I spaceman myself.
Are any of y'all watching the new season of The Last of Us?
Not yet.
I've never gotten on The Last of Us train. I've not seen a single episode.
I like season one quite a bit. And I love the game. You know, the thing about, for me, when it comes to the TV show, you know, I appreciate the loyalty to the game, right? It is an accurate representation of the game with some additional bits thrown in, but they're still approved by the makers of the game, so they fit within that world. Can we go into spoiler territory, Wayne, Andrew? Are you going to be upset if we go into spoiler territory?
Yeah, spoil it away, buddy.
Yeah, I've never played the game. I have no intention of watching the show.
So, you know, obviously And Aaron, I'm pretty sure you know about the big thing that happened this past week.
Yeah, right? I watched it last night. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like and let me I just would, preface, I would check out on the show.
Let me preface, Paul, that you know, I've never played the game.
So did you not know that was happening?
Did not know that was happening. And I mean, I walked away from the program last night and just, I mean, I literally mourned for a little bit. I was stunned that that happened.
Well, the twist we're talking about is that in The Last of Us, the original, you play entirely as Joel, played by Pedro Pascal in the TV show. And in the second game, Joel is murdered pretty early on in the game. And it's a twist in the game that caused a lot of controversy. It happened in the TV show, in the second season of the TV show this past week. And so, you know, obviously people not unfamiliar with the game, you know, pretty upset about the twist. Yeah, obviously, if you played the game or, you know, were aware of the storyline, you knew it was coming. And knowing it was coming, I don't know that I'm interested in the show without Pedro Pascal. It's not a video game. I don't have the investment of controlling the characters and, you know, and that kind of thing. When I'm watching a TV show, you know, and one of the reasons I'm watching it dies, I feel like that would be an out for me. So I have not built up the motivation to check into season two on Last of Us yet.
So who becomes the protagonist in the video game after Joel dies?
Bella Ramsey. Girl.
Is it the girl? Okay. Yeah, the younger girl.
Yeah.
I've never played the game, but I knew that much that the last game was played as the little girl that he raises.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
It's a good show. And the second episode of the second season is just fantastic. I don't play the game and I don't read any of that kind of stuff about where the story's going. I try to go into stuff unspoiled. The only thing I knew is that there was a big thing coming. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that it was going to be like his brother or it was going to be, you know, Ellie's friend Dina. You know, it never occurred to me that it would be Pedro Pascal's character.
Oh, he's got other jobs.
He's a busy guy.
He's got to be Mr. Fantastic. He's got to be the Mandalorian.
He's got a movie. He's got a couple movies that he's filming. So, you know, man's busy.
Yeah, but it's good.
I'm going to probably watch it. Honestly, probably one of the main reasons I haven't checked in is just because I've already checked in on Mobland on Paramount Plus.
How is Mobland?
Mobland, the first episode is a little tough, and I mean tough.
That's the Pierce Brosnan show, right?
Yeah, it's got Pierce Brosnan, Tom Hardy, and Helen Mirren, and it's great. It is the first few episodes are directed by Guy Ritchie. It's not that kind of like it's not like a normal Guy Ritchie movie or anything like that. But it's got I actually quite enjoy it, and I feel like it gets better with each passing episode. So Mobland is good, and Andor started this week with three episodes. So that consumes my TV time.
That three episodes of Andor it feels very oppressive going in.
Yeah, but I'm you know what I will do is I will probably it probably gives me a little bit of leeway to wait till Last of Us is maybe finished and then I'll watch it.
Sure,
but sad week for Pedro Pascal.
Well, with all of this movie and television watching, did you have time to read some Superman this week?
I did. Superman issue 25, the oversized anniversary issue, came out this week, the Summer of Superman. So in this issue, you know, we get the return of Lex Luthor. Let me clarify. The return of Lex Luthor's memory. Also, we get, superpowered Lex Luthor clone. And spoilers, we get Superwoman getting depowered. At the end of the issue. So lots of stuff happened in issue 25, but it's mostly a Lex Luthor issue, if I'm being honest, even more so than a Superman book.
So I was actually torn about the Lois being depowered thing. I even mentioned, I think last week, that there's just too many super characters right now that I want them to start paring them down. So that's because it's oversaturation, overload, but I don't want her to lose her powers until Zod gets there.
Well, maybe that's next issue.
Because that's what I want to see, that storyline of Zod showing up without his powers and finding out that Lois has his powers. That's a storyline I want to see before he gets it back.
confused about the timing of it, because isn't the Zod story occurring over in Action Comics? And I don't think so. They were racing towards, I want to say Genosha, but that doesn't sound right. the nation that son of Superman's boyfriend is from.
Oh, okay.
And that's where Zod apparently has landed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't been reading Action Comics.
So maybe we will get that story as a separate story, but it means her powers leave here, not leave because of Zod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's maybe, like, I want them to pare her down, but I want them to do it through the Zod story.
You know, it feels like I'm just getting used to Lois as Superwoman. Yeah. You know, like I'm you know, I liked that twist on her character. I was looking forward to more of it, and it feels like it hasn't been that long to remove it. But honestly, I feel that way about everything in this issue. And for what it's worth, it's probably been longer than it feels to me. But I was looking forward to good Lex Luthor, good Mercy, Lois as a superpowered for a bit longer. I actually kind of like that continuity, and this issue is just kind of a return to bringing everything back to the status quo that you're familiar with.
Right? Honestly, I really loved the Lex Mercy relationship thing.
And
I don't want that to end. Having Mercy go full evil again is just kind of a gut punch.
Go ahead, Aaron.
No, you go. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I guess that's kind of the point, you know, like in my mind, like I'm like, ah, that sucks. Now, you know, Mercy's bad. Ah, that sucks. Lois lost her powers. And that's, I guess, kind of the point is to break your heart, because I really liked Lex and Mercy falling in love and all that was happening there. And then, you know, to find out that it was fake, at least on Mercy's part. Now I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. I really don't like that. But I guess that's the point. Right?
Poor new Lex. I mean, you've got all of this superhero stuff getting in the way of our romance comic, Paul.
Right? I guess that's what they call effective storytelling.
I really enjoyed XL, which was the, you know, the Lex bad guy. And
his head, you know, off the pavement.
The clone and you know, who's you know, he's essentially Superman Lex Luthor. And what I love about it is when he starts turning into Bizarro. So he's going to become Bizarro Superman Lex Luthor. And I just that tickled me so much. I thought that was great, because, you know, the reason why Lex decided not to, you know, pursue the XL technology was because it was based off of the faulty Bizarro technology. And I just love it. I thought that was great. And I thought the artwork in this book was terrific. I very much enjoyed how graphic it was, and, you know, how Luthor, the good bearded Luthor, suits up and takes XL out with a headshot, you know, and just, you know, taking care of business. And the image of Lois on the last page, where she, you know, announces that her powers are gone, is just a heartbreaking image. You know, I thought this book was really well done.
Yeah. You know, I'm sad about some of the twists in the story, but again, I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I actually thought it was a great issue. Effectively told, a good culmination of everything that they've been building to since issue one, right, of this Joshua Williamson Superman book. And, I mean, it was a great book. You know, very tragic. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. I will say the only issue I have, I'm always the guy who brings up the negative thing, right? Is that,
yes, you are.
Marilyn, what is it, like Marilyn Moonlight or whatever character just randomly showing up. I'm like, what? Like, I know the character. I know that she's been brought up before. It just felt so random in this issue. Because I
didn't realize until this issue that she couldn't function during the daylight.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, okay, like, I know this character's in this book. I still haven't quite figured out what her purpose is. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be uncovered. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great issue. And the cover is baller. I think the cover is really well done.
Yeah, and I thought it was like the character. I want to see more. I want them to actually give us the full story.
I thought that the use of the, you know, black and silver Kryptonian recovery suit was well placed in this book with, mm-hmm. you know, Lex Luthor, you know, wearing that, or XL, I should say, wearing that. I was great. I really have no complaints about this book. I thought this book was really well done.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it's probably the best Superman book I've read in a while.
Yeah, I think I'm really digging what they're doing in this story. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. You know, we know we've got Zod coming up. We've got a lot of big stuff because we've got the Summer of Superman.
Right? Yeah.
We talked about that last week with all the, you know, with you know, Action Comics coming up by Mark Waid, Superman with Joshua Williamson and Dan Morum, you know, Superman Unlimited with Dan Slott and Raphael Albuquerque. And then, you know, of course, we've got Supergirl, Krypto, and then the Adventures of Superman. So lots of it's going to be a great summer for a Superman fan. Hopefully it'll be there'll be a lot of Superman stuff to read. Hopefully it's a great summer.
It better be, Paul, or you're in big trouble.
Yep. Otherwise, I'm switching. I'm just not going to be a Superman fan anymore. I'm only going to be a Spider-Man fan.
Falls out.
Because Spider-Man is taking on the Predator.
You know, so, Paul, you didn't read Predator Wolverine.
I did, actually. I did eventually. Oh, you did? Okay. You know, it was on a sale, so I picked it up in trade.
That one was interesting because it covered Wolverine through the decades. Mm-hmm. This one seems to be kind of that time Spider-Man. You know, J. Jonah Jameson doesn't know who he is. He's still working, you know, running the Daily Bugle. But it is modern in that, you know, they barely have enough subscriptions as it is.
Yeah.
Because nobody reads papers.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those out of time. I mean, obviously, it's a multiverse book, but, you know, or an Elseworlds kind of book. But, you know, it's kind of like, let's take the core concept of the character and make it more modern, but, you know, not really fit in any prior continuity kind of thing. But I will say, you know, I read Wolverine versus Predator. I read the first issue of Black Panther versus Predator. You know, this Predator versus Spider-Man book, you know, it's the same writer, Benjamin Percy. I actually really liked this first issue. If I were to compare it to anything, especially for those of you who have watched the Predator movies, it's kind of similar in feel to Predator 2 or even some of those old school Predator comics from Dark Horse Comics. And,
Did not shy away from the gore.
That's what I was going to say. It is surprisingly violent. Like, you know, there are people who are skinned alive and you see, you know, the bloody viscera. It's, you know, certainly one of the most violent Spider-Man comics I've ever read.
Yeah, I found it really interesting that we didn't really see Spider-Man reacting to what he's seen. Like, that's the kind of thing you would expect him to get really outraged. And you don't see that yet. I think we'll see it when he actually meets Predator.
Frankly, you know, you don't really get much Spider-Man, I would say, in this book. And what I mean by that is he is not the wisecracking, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He doesn't actually do much.
You know what I really enjoyed? What I really enjoyed was at the crime scene when you have the investigator show up and she's looking at everything and talking to the crime scene, like, forensics guy. And they give the reveal that's actually Peter, who has just shown up, put on the suit, and is getting information from her. I really enjoyed that. Just that he can slip in and sound the part and easily pretend to be a forensics person without any problem at all.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I really liked this book. The one thing that I would say is, you know, from little, you know, the recommendation I would say is, you know, with Wolverine versus Predator, I was able to purchase digitally, let me clarify, the trade paperback for basically the cost of one issue, one or two issues. So I recommend the book, but you may want to just wait till it's collected because it'll be far cheaper than paying $5-6 an issue. But I liked it. The art I thought was great. You know, I love the fact that they've brought Kraven the Hunter in, which totally makes sense because that's basically the Predator is basically intergalactic Kraven.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Kraven hunting him.
Yeah, so I like what they're doing in this book, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this one goes.
No, I'm on board too, Paul. I really enjoyed it. I really liked the Wolverine versus Predator for what it was. This is going to be a completely different Predator story, and I appreciate the story they're telling.
Well, I like that Marvel is doing these things with the aliens and Predator that, one, you know, you're getting stories set in their normal universes, but you're also getting these Marvel crossovers, and they're all well done. They're not throwaway. You know, they've got good art, good writers. You know, at the end of this book, it advertises Aliens versus Avengers issue 4, and it says on sale this summer. I'm like, I mean, it's like six months in between each issue on that book. But I've really enjoyed it. I'm looking, you know, I will probably end up rereading the first three issues before I read the fourth, just to be aware of what happened. But you know, they're doing a good job with these 20th century properties. But
it makes you wonder what they could do next,
right?
You know, I would say the Energon universe is also doing a good job with some intellectual properties.
I freaking loved G.I. Joe issue 6.
It's so good.
And the cover, I loved the cover for sure, with Cobra Commander and Duke like sword fighting over, you know, the Cobra throne with the, you know, everything on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the cover, except that there is the fact that I'm really kind of unsure why Duke is straddling that huge armrest. It looks like a good way to accidentally hurt your groin.
He's pulling the Riker maneuver.
Also, it's Captain Morgan, but yeah. This book was fantastic. I mean, the first, half or so was the showdown between Cobra Commander and Duke for the first time.
That they basically focused on that. You know, yes. Like they didn't cut too much between that and other things. They really just kind of focused on that for quite a bit, and I thought that was great.
Well, even just the opening page, that two-page spread that kind of shows the parallels between their two story arcs in the Energon universe. As Cobra Commander's talking to them, and they're kind of in silhouette in the front. I mean, just that was a beautiful page to look at. The actual duel, amazing. I don't think it was going to dislike. What did you think, Wayne?
I really enjoyed it as well. Basically, wrapping up this first arc of the book, you've got the team together. You've got them interacting and disobeying his orders because they should. And there's a couple of surprise moments.
I was going to say, how about that end, Wayne?
Yeah.
I love the end, seeing Hound show up. But the other surprise moment for me was Cobra Commander not willing to sacrifice himself because he wouldn't see the future he's creating. So I expected, like, they're going to have to find a way to kill this scientist guy, and Cobra Commander just blasts his head off himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love how Duke puts him in that position. Is like, sure, we could both die here, but you'll never see, you know, the great thing Cobra becomes, and you won't be able to lead it. And Cobra Commander's like, you got a good point.
But, you know, first of all, I loved, obviously, everything between Duke and Cobra Commander. I do like that Baroness is still on the side of good.
Yeah.
But the last few pages of this book between Hound showing up, and we already knew that Cobra Commander had Megatron, right?
Well, there's some connection because Megatron escaped Cobra Law. Right, yeah.
But the Matrix of Leadership showing up, that Cobra Commander has the Matrix of Leadership.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, and then this is my question. So when Clutch is driving away and what we eventually find out is Hound, they very deliberately show this picture of his duffel bag in this sphere-shaped object with a cobra signal on the side.
Yeah, it looks like a cobra grenade.
It looks like a giant cobra grenade. Do we know what that is?
We don't. I don't know that we're supposed to, because, I was like, what's happening there? Like, is he, you know, did he just bring it with him? Did they leave it in his bag? Like, what's going on there?
I took it to be a hint that he's actually a spy.
Well, that's what I thought when he left. I was like, I wonder if they exposed him to the brainwave device and so that he's still loyal and he's going off to report in. But then, of course, you know, that goes off the rails when his Humvee there turns into Hound. I'm very excited. It was a great first arc. You could say the first issue was a little slow, but overall, I think it was great. I'm happy to see another Transformer show up in the pages of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and it's one we haven't seen in Transformers yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so my question is, how did he get there? You know, where has he been? I'm very interested in this.
Yeah, every time they show one that isn't brought up by Optimus and them, I love seeing the storyline. I really loved Beachcomber's story. And how Beachcomber had come to be, you know, a pacifist.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, I'm still in on G.I. Joe. I can't wait to see what the second arc does.
Yeah, I want him to get to the point... I want more Scarlet.
True. Well, Storm Shadow Scarlet. But I will say, if you look at the cover for issue 7, you've got Flint and Beachhead.
Yeah, I think issue 7 is a Beachhead-centered issue, like a one-off, kind of like a break-in-between arcs kind of thing.
An interlude, if you will.
Yes, and I mean, I love, you know, for what it's worth, I love Beachhead as a character.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
So I'm looking forward to that one.
But I do. I want some Snake Eyes. I want some Storm Shadow. I want some more Scarlet. You know, Paul, you are G.I. Joe. Do you remember this chameleon character that's hanging out this Destro?
I don't off the top of my head.
I don't either. And that may have been because maybe she was a later character that was added after I'd stopped being as involved in G.I. Joe, maybe. But I don't remember her. And she does have like reddish hair, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'm sure we'll find out.
Okay.
But, you know, we also, next week is also Free Comic Book Day.
It is.
So there is a new Energon Universe special.
Yep.
Ooh.
You know, that will preview the stories of the upcoming year. Yeah, and that's why for anyone who remembers, that's where we had the Megatron story.
Yeah, it was a good issue last year. I'm picking up this year. My comic book store, now that I have a pull box, has this nice thing where if you have a pull box, they actually give you a list and say, they'll say pick out X number of comics, and you know, instead of having to stand in line, we'll have them bagged and ready for you. You can just pick them up.
Oh, for Free Comic Book Day?
That's for nice. Free Comic Book Day, yeah. It was really nice. If you can't make it on Saturday morning because say you're working or something, they'll still, if you have a pull box, they'll have them ready, put off to the side for you, and we'll hold them for you.
That's really nice. None of the shops I used to go to ever did anything like that for me.
Yeah, they said that was their, you know, saying thank you to people who have pull boxes and are kind of, you know, doing that regular subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited to go and pick it up. I'm trying to remember what I should have taken a picture. I'm a horrible person. I'm trying to remember what other books I picked out for a Free Comic Book Day.
Well, there's a DC All-In special
that
comes out next week. you know, there's a preview of the new Fantastic Four book. It's like a two-sided book. There's a Fantastic Four X-Men two-sider, and there is a Spider-Man Ultimate Universe two-sider. There's the Energon Universe special. It's a small Free Comic Book Day. You know, I mean, obviously, but there's another Conan book coming out.
Boom has a Power Rangers VR Troopers book.
Mm-hmm.
VR Troopers is another blast from my past because I remember watching it as a kid.
Yeah, I watched it too. I don't know why.
There's a Disney Phineas and Ferb book, which is one of the ones I'm picking up because I love Phineas and Ferb. I think I did get the Fantastic Four X-Men. I believe that was on my list.
Spider-Man Ultimate Universe number one.
Yeah. So Free Comic Book Day. Go to your comic shop next Saturday to get your free comic books. And there are other releases next week as well.
You mean like new comic book releases, Paul?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Paul.
Yes,
tell us about what's coming next week.
Well, next week is also kind of like a fifth week because April 30th is New Comic Book Day. So not a ton in comic stores. We get the latest issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. We get the Detective Comics Annual, which is not written by the current creative team on the title. We get the third chapter of We Are Yesterday, which is the Justice League Unlimited World's Finest crossover event that's going on right now. And from Marvel Comics, we get Godzilla versus Spider-Man from Joe Kelly and Nick Bradshaw.
Yeah, I'm off.
I'm a big Nick Bradshaw fan because he's, you know, kind of basically Timu Art Adams. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick it up for the art.
Well, sounds good.
Does it?
It does. Yeah. Yes. Every new comic book day is a good new comic book day.
Aaron. Anything from DC this week, Paul?
Nothing really. Nothing that, you know, nothing big there. That they just really have the annual from Detective Comics. Gotcha. And they're not really a participant in Free Comic Book Day because they don't distribute through Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
I did say there was a DC All-In special.
Yeah.
It didn't,
yeah.
I? Yeah,
you did.
So they might be
look at you being wildly inconsistent, Paul.
Well, they might be distributing it outside of the Diamond because I'm on the Diamond website, and you know, they show their releases, and DC might be distributing it separately through their distributor.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's where I'm really confused about Free Comic Book Day this year because Diamond was going out of business. Right.
Yeah,
how are they still doing Free Comic Book Day? I thought we had lost Free Comic Book Day.
Well, I think a lot of these books were already printed or in the process of being printed when they went out. So I don't know exactly how they, I guess I could ask on Saturday. So I don't know exactly how they kind of redid distribution and got around Diamond, but
you're it's our still, man in the streets, Andrew. You got to find out.
I'll see what I can find out. And there's also,
the rest of us are going to download the digital releases of these.
Like animals, like sophisticated animals are going to download the digital.
Well, the DC book is a preview of the Raphael Albuquerque Dan Slott Superman Unlimited book. So that's it's part of that.
Well, and then there is a Conan book for Free Comic Book Day as well.
Yes.
Scourge of the Serpent. That's another one that was on my list.
Yeah. Loves me some Conan. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about this week's books, what you thought of The Last of Us, and what you might be watching and what you might be going to see. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, or X.
What a deal. Well, hey, you know, so long, Skype, and hello, new comic book day. Or Free Comic Book Day, I should say. And we will see you back unless we podfade.
Right. And we'll,
no promises.
Will we switch to teams? Will we switch to Discord? Will we be frozen by indecision? You know, stay tuned and maybe find out.
Indecision. I think that's highly likely.
Yeah. Well, if you want to tell us what platform to switch to, make sure you tell us on X.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.